God bless you, everyone.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller. This is Dirty Church Radio. I hope you all are tuning in tonight for our discussion. I hope all are blessed tonight. I hope God's hand's been over your life all day long. But just know that you are the treasure.
From the day I was born, I've been searching, even in the storms, trying to find you. Everywhere I look, it seems to get far from me. Then a chance I took and find.
Everyone out there, this is Minister Jay Miller. This is Dirty Church Radio. I hope you're tuning in tonight. We're going to be talking about, you know, different things, but one of the main topics that we're going to be talking about is tongues or gibberish. Hey, what you saying? Right now, I'm going to let one of our guest hosts in, our Apostle Louis Young. How you doing, Apostle Young?
All right.
How's everything going, brother?
Just tired, man. Busy day today.
Busy day today, working hard and stuff, man.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear some of the future projects that you out there doing, man, that you're working on, man.
Yeah, I got a couple of things on the fire working on. Big things, man, big things. God is good.
That's great, man. That's great, man. I know one thing, man. I can't wait to catch the next time you preach, man, somewhere, man.
Yeah, I'll be letting you know so we can maybe announce it on the show.
Listen.
Let folks know what's going on.
And this is to all my listeners out there. Listen, if you know me, this is Minister Jay Miller. You know me, Jay, Jermaine, however you know me. Listen. If you got any projects that you're doing, you know what I mean? You got any upcoming events that you're doing, listen, you need to contact me at goddrum77@gmail.com. If you got any songs that's in MP form, MP3 form, whatever, that little demos that that you got, you want to see how it get a little buzz going with it, listen, contact me. Send it to me. We'll play it during the show. This is a show right here. I'm willing to help anybody. And I know this is not the greatest, biggest platform yet, but it is a platform where you can be heard. So if you got anything going on, contact me. I'm on Facebook, Jermaine Miller. Contact me. You can even contact Louis Young, Apostle Young, if you want to give them some information about how to contact you concerning any things that they might want to get going or come on Dirty Church Radio. You could do that at this time, bro.
I'm on Facebook, Louis Young, also known as Apostle Louis Young. And I'm also, you can contact me at apostle_LOU@yahoo.com. Hit me up, you know. We got a lot of things going on, willing to help whoever needs help. We'll help us one to the other. So drop me a line, whatever I could do, more than willing to help.
And listen, all to the singers and the artists out there, too, we want to get you on Dirty Church Radio to set up some interviews so you could talk about what you're doing. So, you know what I mean? You can help promote yourself on here and talk. We could discuss some things. Listen, this is Dirty Church Radio. This is a place that we expect this dirt that's on this show, that it can grow some things. It can help grow some things. You know, like I always say on the show, we might not agree on everything. We might have disagreements. But one thing that I can agree on is that I should be able to help you in any way that I can.
Yes.
As long as it doesn't take, helping you doesn't take me out of my character or what I stand for. But I still believe everyone deserves help.
Amen.
I believe everyone deserves help.
Amen.
And I believe this is a great platform, man. You know what I'm saying? To really, you know, promote the different gifts that God has given people. Whether you believe God has given you a gift or not, if whatever you have can help someone, to me, that's a blessing. Whatever that may be. Well, tonight, I just want to, before we even go into the discussion, we're waiting on a few hosts or special guests to come on tonight. But I just want to let you know now, to anyone who's out there in church, who is a Christian, or whatever your faith is, tonight's discussion is not to disrespect anyone. It is not to bring an offense to anyone. It's mainly to get a clearer understanding. I never intend on this show to make anyone stop believing what they're believing. But the main thing I do want is that God's creation get connected to God, and that they get to a point where they acknowledge God, the creator of this world, and know that their thoughts and their opinions is not above the will of God. And I just hope that everyone that's listening have an open mind. We're opening as far as you can. If anything offends you, you don't have to listen. But on Dirty Church Radio, whatever it is, the seeds, the dirt on Dirty Church Radio can handle whatever it is. We stand strong on here in what we believe in. I believe in God. I believe I am saved. I'm filled with His Spirit. But I also am open, and I am not scared to hear different views and opinions of other people. Because regardless of what, everyone is a creation of God, whoever you are. And I believe in the word, it does say our people will perish for the lack of knowledge. So we all don't have everything right. We all don't know it all. I believe even in church, even in our churches that we go to in faith, I believe we're all missing something. I don't believe we all have it right. And if some of you out there believe that you do, well, that's all good. But I believe there are some things that we may have missed out on. We may have not really looked at or considered. But I believe God's will is to for us to search and get to a point where we can get a clear understanding through his spirit and through the minds that he has given us. And I, whatever he says you get, make sure we get an understanding. So it's time to go to church and leave with an understanding. It's not, we shouldn't go to church or in our worship and our praise and leave confused. We should have a clear understanding of what God expects from us, what our assignment is, and try to get a clearer view of our purpose. Sometimes we get our, we think our gift is greater than our purpose. But I believe our gift is for our purpose. And I believe our purpose is to share love in this world, to show concern, to have compassion on others, not to step on anyone, to criticize anyone, not to magnify other people's failures and other people's faults just to make you feel better about yourself. But I believe God, it is the will of God that we begin to acknowledge the Creator and begin to peel open the pages of his principles and his standards and begin to try our best to live according to those. Some of you may disagree with that, but that's okay. It's not about the disagreement. It's about the will of God, and it's about the purpose of mankind. Apostle Young?
Yeah.
While you on here, man, just enlighten us, man. Just before we actually go into the topic, tonight's topic is tongues or gibberish. Hey, what you saying? We're going to be talking about speaking in tongues. Is speaking in tongues used the right way in our churches? Are we mishandling the gift? What is the purpose of the gift? What is it for? Is it for when it's needed? Or is it just for when we're in the grocery store and we're in Burger King and we're in McDonald's, we're in a car dealer? Are we posed it, is it just for those things? Are we making a clownery of a gift, of the gifts of God? There may, some of you may not believe in the gift of speaking in tongues, but we want to hear from you too. We want to hear why you don't believe. The ones that believe, we want to hear why you believe. We want to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk about it. And the thing about it, it shouldn't be nothing wrong with talking and getting a clearer understanding. I don't believe no question is wrong. People need answers in this world. We live in a wicked world. It's a wicked world. And I don't believe we can survive without a clear understanding of what God is truly trying to show us and teach us through everything that's happening. Because as wicked as it is, believe me, people, it's a lesson to be learned. It's a lesson to be learned. And right now we're going to, our brother Aaron, he's coming on the line, our other co-host.
Shalom.
Brother, what's going on, Brother Spradley, the advocate?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. I just translated what I just said. Thank you.
Okay, I got you. So you're starting now already, as soon as you're calling in from the gate with it. All right. we know how you coming tonight, advocate.
What
we
do
know
you
the
mean?
Angle you're coming from.
How am I coming?
No, we already know. I'll let you know. I already know how you coming.
How am I coming?
You said how are you coming?
Yes, how am I coming?
Just, the way you just opened up. Repeat what you just repeated.
I can't repeat that.
But
those
you can't
words
repeat
can
it?
Only be those words can only be spoken once.
I hear that tonight. Well, anyway, before, I don't know if you was listening, but right now we was going to let Apostle Young lead out on this conversation tonight.
Good evening, Apostle Young.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Go ahead, Apostle Young. You can start
all right,
tonight's
well,
topic, man.
You know, I always believe in having some Bible to back up whatever I'm going to say. So, first off, you asked a question that I think is going to be the catalyst for this discussion on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, are we using the gift that comes properly, or are we abusing the gift of tongues? Now, I have to say, yes, we are not using the gift of tongues properly. I was reading in the book of Corinthians where it talks about the purpose of the tongues. And first of all, to paraphrase what the Bible was saying, first of all, the purpose of tongues was used as a sign, not to believers, but to non-believers. Tongues was never meant to make anyone seem mystical or make anyone seem profound or even prolific. And I've come to find out in my walk with Christ that it seems as though that the people that speaks in tongues the most, some of them are the biggest devils in the church. Speaking in tongues don't make you powerful. Speaking in tongues don't make you more holy than a person that does not speak in tongues, as far as I'm concerned. And throughout the history of the church, people have used the gift, or I even say the so-called gift of tongues, because a lot of people saying they're speaking in tongues, they're really not speaking in tongues. They're trying to make themselves look or appear to be above the next person. And in a nutshell, tongues was never meant for that purpose. The Bible also says, Paul said, that we should want to have the spiritual gifts, but if you desire one, you should desire the gift of prophecy above the gift of tongues. Because when you're speaking in tongues, how tongues is supposed to be used, tongues are used for you to communicate with God. It's a conversation between you and God. Tongues was never meant to be used for public address, especially if you're going to use tongues and then there's no interpretation. The Bible says you edify yourself. There's no edification for the church. And when you have people standing up speaking in tongues for 5-10 minutes and then there's no interpretation, how was the church edified? Because nobody in the church understands what you're saying, especially if there's no interpretation. And then you got to be careful even if there is an interpretation, because this person might just be, you know, another person trying to make themselves look bigger than what they really are. And that's a problem that's abundant in the church. You know, even leaders using the gifts, not just tongues, the gifts period, as a way of bewitching the minds of the people to put them in a place of superiority over the congregation. And you know, God is raising up people that's going to put a spotlight on this foolery that's going on in the church. So to answer your question, tongues are definitely necessary in your personal walk with God. Are they really necessary in the church? At times, yes. But oftentimes, Paul said he would rather you choose to prophesy, because when you prophesy, you speak in a language that the congregation can understand. Therefore, the Bible's being fulfilled when it says that everything that we do in the church should be for the edification of the saints. So in a nutshell, when you having your own personal prayer time and you go off into tongues, that's personal. And I think tongues 90% of the time should be personal versus the 10% when on an occasion a prophetic utterance in tongues comes with an interpretation. If there's no interpretation, you just wasted 15 minutes hearing somebody speaking in tongues and they edifying themselves. So that's my take. You know, people might not agree with it, but if you look in Corinthians, I'll give you the Bible verse so that you know you don't think I'm just talking out the side of my neck. If you go into the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it's right there in black and white what the purpose of tongues is for.
Okay.
And like you stated, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. The answer to your question is right here in the Bible. But how many people really reading it?
Well, tonight, Apostle Young, actually read the scripture tonight.
Okay.
You have your Bible with you.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I might as well, I mean, we got time, I might just read the whole thing.
Go ahead.
Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have the faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow, okay, let me go down because that's not the meat of what I want to talk about. If you go to verse 5, it says here, I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So if you go to 6th verse, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, forasmuch as ye are zealous of the spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with an understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with an understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of the thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. All right. Now I'm going to go down to the 20th verse. No, the 18th verse. I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not, But prophesying serveth not for them that believe, not, but for them which believe. At the whole 23rd verse, and therefore the whole church become together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of truth.
Matt, hold on, sorry. May I ask a question? That scripture you just read, what was that again?
Ephesians chapter 13.
No,
starting
First Corinthians.
I'm sorry.
The one he just finished reading.
That was 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter.
14th chapter.
Yeah, the 14th chapter. And the last one I read was...
The 25th verse.
Yeah, the 25th verse. I ain't got my 14th. Glasses on, brothers. So
14th chapter, 25th verse.
I got this date, and this writing is real small.
Okay, you can continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was the last scripture.
Okay.
I apologize for not giving the right information because I can't even hardly.
Well, you might as well finish down to the 26th verse. It says, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying."
Right, yeah. And that alludes to what I was talking about when I was talking earlier. You know, we gotta always remember, especially when it comes to kingdom working and church building, a lot of the stuff that we call church has nothing to do with church at all. Especially if it's not edifying the people that come to church. And Jay, you said a statement earlier, you know, we want people that come out to church, we don't want them to leave more confused than they did when they came. And that's what's going on with a lot of this mysticism that's going on in church. Church was never meant to be mystical or spooky. Or you are more powerful than this person, because at the end of the day, we're all striving to get to the same place. Do I believe that tongues is necessary in the church? To a certain degree, I do. But I believe the fruits of the prophetic is more edifying. Because when somebody prophesies, especially if they're prophesying something that's coming from the throne room of God, it's gonna be clarification and it's gonna be edification at the same time.
Okay, you know something that I was sitting here thinking about on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came through. In the upper room, and it fell upon men of, you know, different nations, different men from different lands, and they begin to all speak, and they begin to all hear each other and be able to understand each other. Now, when we're talking about tongues, we understand that I believe it's a gift. We all agree, according to the Word of God, that it's one of the gifts of the Spirit that God gives you. So what does God give us gifts for? God gives us gifts to spread his agenda, to spread his purpose, to help us accomplish the assignments that he's given us. So during that time, if you got a whole bunch of men that are of different nationalities, but we're all in this one place to spread a word. The tongue was used so those can understand you that are not of your tongue. So let me ask this question. Do we see that taking place in the world we live in today? Are the tongues being used, the gifts being used to actually, if I come in and I'm Chinese and I come into an African-American church and I can't understand anyone, is the Holy Spirit supposed to be able to use someone that has that gift to be able so that person can understand what God is saying?
Well, I've actually witnessed that happen. I forget the name of the preacher that where this was, but I was in Atlanta, Georgia, and this preacher was up and he started speaking in tongues, and
Not to cut you off, Pastor Young. I just want to ask you. I just got to add one little question with it. When the person spoke, did he speak in a tongue, or did he speak in that man's language?
That's what I'm getting ready to say.
Okay.
This man started speaking in tongues. Now he was a black man, the prophet that was up speaking, and he began to speak in tongues. And this lady stood up and said she could translate what he was saying because he was speaking in German. Now, the man said he never spoke in German before in his life. Now, whether he was lying or not, I don't know. I'm just telling you what he said. He said he never spoke in German before in his life, but the lady stood up and translated everything that he was saying while he was saying it.
Mm. Okay.
And he said he never spoke in German before in his life, but the message that he was speaking, it was a person that was there from Germany that didn't speak no English. And that person stood up and said that the message was for him.
Okay.
And he said it in his language, and the lady translated what the German person was saying, and they said in their language that the message was for him. So you got all this going on, and the person that was prophesying in German didn't even really understand what they were saying. And to the person that translated what he was saying, she was the translator. She translated what the prophet said, but he was speaking in tongues.
Okay.
And it was for a person that was at the service that didn't speak any English. All they spoke was German. You get what I'm saying?
No, I hear you. All right, one more thing. One more thing right now. According to tongues in the Bible, speaking in tongues in the Bible, do you believe there are a few rules that go along with that?
Yes, and the main rule is if you're speaking in tongues, holding up the service, and there's no interpretation of what you're saying, you're out of order.
All right. So if there's more than three people speaking in a service, is that against scripture?
I mean, if
according to the Bible,
if you go by what the Bible says, that's out of order.
That's out of order, right?
That's out of order.
If five people are in the church speaking openly, publicly, at the same time, according to the Bible or the scripture, that would be out of order.
That's out of
right?
order. That's out of order. And when we say, we're not talking about like if you're having an experience with God and you're speaking in tongues where it's not disrupting the service. that's different. But when you got five or six people loud, boisterous, speaking in tongues, and they're doing this all at the same time, that first of all, God is not the author of confusion. That's confusion there. All right. And it's out of order. It's plain as the hand that's in front of my face that you're out of order. Because who's being edified?
Okay.
All you're doing is disrupting the service. And usually, nine times out of ten, there's going to be a voice of authority that's going to bring order in the house.
Mm. Okay. So, our brother Aaron Spradley,
mm-hmm.
You've been quiet so far. Let us hear your intake or your view, or like you say, you speaking for those that may be believe different, think different, or have a different take on the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe at all.
Before I talk, I would like your views on it, if you don't mind.
No, I'm going to give my view. I mean, we got a long time here. We're going to hear it.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to. The only reason I'm asking is because you know I'm quite sure in more ways than mine, you would agree.
We'll put it this way. Well, I'm gonna start off. I'm gonna say this. I do believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I do believe that God, through the Holy Spirit, that He gives us gifts. For ministry to help spread his word. I believe that everyone has different gifts. I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to read Acts, the first chapter, the eighth verse. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth." All right. One thing I believe that the Holy Ghost makes you, or puts in you above any gift, is you first become a witness. I believe it's all for witnessing. That's what I believe. That's what I believe that the Holy Spirit is for. It's not for us to prove that we have the Holy Ghost. It's not for us to walk around like we're deeper than anyone else, like Apostle Young was saying. I do believe that it is for, it gives you the ability and power to help you with your assignment of being an ambassador for Christ, standing
okay.
on his word. I believe like this. I believe the gifts, let's say you, Aaron, and you, Lou, we all have different roads that we walk every day, and we're in different places. I believe that when God gives us gifts, he gives us gifts based upon the road that we're going to walk on. So if I'm on a road where the gifts of tongues is needed for ministry, that gift will be used. If I'm on a road where the gift of faith is needed, that gift will be used. I believe that the gifts of the Spirit have purpose behind it. And I believe what I've seen in church, even from a young boy, and I'm not knocking anyone, I believe a lot of times the gifts portrayed that we see come from a place of mimicking. You've mimicked what you've seen others do because it all looks the same. I believe God is authentic. I believe that he is genuine. And I believe that when he gives you a gift, that gift is designed and put in you for purpose based on who you are and what you're going and what role, like I said before, that you're going to be on. So I do believe in tongues. I do believe in the speaking of tongues, but I believe in the speaking of tongues with purpose behind it. I believe that there should be an interpreter, and I believe that if God is truly speaking at the time in a public place, that he's trying to say something, and I believe that either the person that's speaking should be able to interpret or someone that has the gift of interpretation. But then again, like above, I also believe that if a prophet is in a house that can prophesy, and he's prophesying, he's speaking a word from God, then at that time, it's no reason for the tongue, because the prophet should be able to share what God's word is and bring understanding to all men that are in the room. That's what I believe on it. I just don't believe that. That's why the name of this topic is Tongues or Gibberish. I do believe that we've been in church and we've heard gibberish. I believe that we have heard gibberish. I do believe that we've heard vain babbling. I do believe that we've heard people use the concept of tongues in the wrong way. I do believe they've used it in a way because they've seen auntie or grandmom use it in a certain way. And not to offend no one, it just became a habit. I believe we have people in church that been speaking and using that so long that it has become a habit for them, so it's natural for them to do it. But I do believe in tongues. I do believe that I do believe in tongues of fire of the Holy Ghost, and I do believe that it is real. But I do not believe that when it's spoken, is spoken in a way or the purpose behind it is to be used as clownery or to come from a bamboozled place. I believe that it is to be used effectively, and I believe that when the tongue will be spoken, it will accomplish what it truly is meant to accomplish. I don't believe that tongues, if someone's speaking, that it makes them look holier than someone who doesn't. Because if that one who's speaking in tongues in church, but they never witness or spread God's word, I believe it's in vain. But I believe the one who's not speaking in tongues in church, but they're spreading the word of God, is doing more and being more effective than one running around the church speaking in tongues, trying to be seen of men. But I do believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I do believe that God gives the gifts to who he wants to give them to.
Okay. I just wanted to know. I mean, you were shy. I mean, like, you would almost be where my point of view would be if you wasn't so scared, I think.
Scared?
I think,
what you gotta say?
Yeah, I think
you
do a lot of, you know, like,
that word because,
walking around and dancing around what you really want to say.
No.
I'm teasing you.
I'm just saying, I just want to let you know. Everyone on the radio, that Minister J. Miller believes
in the spirit.
I believe in the gifts of the spirit.
Not necessarily. Okay, so I have a question for you. Before I start making my statement.
I do believe that gibberish does take place in church.
Yes, I do believe that. I believe that you believe that. But I have a question for you before I, you know, get into my whole spiel. My question to you is, do you believe that do you believe that's speaking in tongue? Or do you believe that's gibberish?
Put it this way, I believe that it can be gibberish.
No, do you believe that
is
what you're referring to when you were talking about speaking in tongues?
No, when I talk about speaking in tongues, let's make this very clear. I believe...
Don't dance.
This is what I believe. I believe that every utterance that we've heard in church, or every utterance of sounds put together coming out of man's mouth in church. Mm-hmm. I do personally believe that it's not or has not always been God.
So you say some of it is God?
No, I believe that God does speak through the Holy Ghost, through his spirit, with an unknown tongue, that the natural mind or the natural language of man or the spirit, it can't be uttered in an actual word that you can put a word to it. I do believe in a heavenly language.
Okay. All right. Now that's what I wanted you to say.
Yeah.
You did.
Did you write it down?
Yeah, I did, because I actually did take notes this time.
Yeah, I need you to take notes.
Yeah, I need to take notes this time. And you know, I won't come from any other avenue except the Bible, strictly from the Bible. I won't talk about any other religions. I won't talk about any other traditions. I won't talk about any of the other things. I just talk about the Bible itself. And from the Bible standpoint of view, starting with Acts, because Acts was the first place that the gift was mentioned.
And we're talking about every scripture.
Nowhere else in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, was this gift actually ever mentioned. And I would just totally stick to the Bible. And dealing with that, for everyone, and I'm not saying that I'm 100% sure, but for the most part, most people accept this to be true. And the interpretation of the scriptures, they accept it to be true. And it's only people that don't accept it are usually the people who are very fundamental, charismatic Pentecostal Christians. Usually people from the Protestant faith, which we fall under. But the whole intent and the whole purpose of speaking in tongue was not for the edification of self. It was not to build yourself up, so to say. It was for... Well, it was a sign, and it was a sign, and it was totally for the unbeliever, not for the believer at all. That wasn't the purpose of speaking in tongues. And I said, I'm only coming from the Bible's perspective. I won't come from any other perspective. Coming from the Bible, during the time in Acts, the day of Pentecost, the 50 men that were actually there speaking, it was referred that they spoke in different languages, and interpretation of different languages is tongues. But they actually spoke a language that men could understand. It wasn't any language that only God and themselves understand. It was a language that men understood. It wasn't to edify themselves. It wasn't for the intent of themselves. It was for the sole intent of God spreading the word to people who were foreign to the native language where they were at, which was Jerusalem at the time, if I'm not mistaken. You had people from all around to come there. And the people that were actually there that received the gift, they spoke the languages of men that was there. You got to remember, they spoke languages. They spoke something that other men actually understood. Then it gets to the point where from Acts, throughout Acts, it talks about language that men understood. All throughout Acts, that's what it talks about, languages that men understand. Then somewhere down the line...
Could you give us some scriptures?
Well, you guys already gave the scriptures. All of the scriptures
in
Acts that
about
refer
the
to
different ones. The certain ones, because you said it's a few of them. So can we, like, when we, like, mention it, could we actually, you know?
Well, let me interject.
No. You can't interject because I have to finish saying what I have to say.
Go ahead.
And then
you're wrong by saying what you're saying, though. Because
no, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. In any kind of way, am I not wrong?
Well, you said you were coming from the Bible, right?
Yes. All throughout Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19 refers to languages that men understood. That was the intent for speaking in tongues. I don't even want to go to Corinthians yet. Let's just solely stick in Acts. Now, if you want to refer to Acts, and you're saying to me that Acts, somewhere in Acts, it's referring to a language that a man does not understand. Just dealing in Acts. If you can do that, then I'll give you the floor.
Well,
I'm just saying, could you actually
I'm not
read
talking
the scripture?
I'm not talking about the language barrier. That's
that's the only thing I'm talking about right now. I'm just talking about the language per se.
You said that tongues was never meant to edify a man.
Yes, tongue is not meant to edify a man. I'm talking about Acts right now. We can get to Corinthians. We can get to the Corinthians part of it. But I'm talking about in Acts right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tongue is not meant to edify man per se. It's not made to make man smarter. That's what edification means. To build up, to make yourself smarter. To be learned. I'm sorry, hold on one second. All right. So in Acts, like I said, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, all refers to an actual language. All of the stories in Acts are referring to languages. Now, when you get to Corinthians, because that's where it starts to get tricky for people that don't interpret the scriptures the way it's supposed to be interpreted. My question to those people are, when did the language that was meant for people to understand for the spreading of the gospel turn into a language that only individual people and God can understand? There's not one scripture in the Bible that refers to without someone reading into it, which 9 times out of 10 is misinterpreted, where it clearly states that man and God only have a language that they understand, and it totally switched from that type of tongue to the tongues that's mentioned in Acts. I don't know a scripture, and if somebody can find a scripture that actually says that plainly, without reading into a very arbitrary scripture, I'm more than welcome to actually obliged by that. I haven't found one. I don't know anybody who actually has found one yet. But like I said, I could be wrong. Who knows? But when you're referring to Acts and the scriptures that you were referring to, when it talks about the utterance and the edifying.
Hold up. Can I ask a question,
wait.
Right?
No, I didn't ask the question just now. No,
I do. There's something that I need to ask you too.
Okay.
How do you spell moan?
You said moan.
M-O-A-N.
Huh?
M-O-A-N.
M-O-A-N. All right.
Uh huh. What, Jade? You said you had a question.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
According to the Bible,
uh-huh,
whether they're speaking in someone's native tongue.
Which was the purpose for it in Acts, yes?
Yes, all right. But we do agree that it's the Holy Spirit giving them the gift to do so.
I agree with the Holy Spirit giving the gift to do so within the context of the scriptures. Yes, because that's what the scriptures say. You can't base it on anything else except the scriptures. You can't necessarily put it to some other type of text, because this is where it's only found. It's only found in the Bible, nowhere else. But go ahead.
Okay, no, I was just making sure that we're clear that this is a gift of the Spirit, and rather
the
gibberish. Yeah.
No. You can't say that. And I'm going to tell you why you can't say what you were about to say. Is because,
I know what I'm about to say.
Well, I apologize for assuming. But if you go there, let me correct it before you actually go there. Or if you were
to try to correct. Go ahead.
But like I said, in order for the proof that the Holy Spirit is actually working, in order for the proof that this is actually something from God, it has to make sense, because like we say, God doesn't have the spirit of confusion and chaos and all that stuff. All right. If that's the case, the whole purpose and the whole miracle, the whole act of speaking in tongues is for an unlearned person. It talks about it, and I really, really wish that I had all of these scriptures so I can actually pinpoint it out to you. But every scripture that talks about speaking in tongues, like I said, is talking about an actual language. And it would have to be talking about an actual language. The miracle of the whole process of it is someone speaking another language. Meaning, if I am not Japanese, and I never spoke Japanese in my life, then it's evident that the miracle shows through me speaking Japanese, and I've never learned it before. That's the miracle behind it. That's the evidence for the unbeliever. Now, if I'm speaking in a language that only me and God can understand, where's the miracle in that? Because it cannot be proven. Because I can say I'm speaking to God, but how is that proven? You can't prove that by the Holy Spirit. You can't prove that by anything. Because it's my personal language to God that God can only understand. There's no miracle proof in that. God is not seen through that. How can God be seen through that as being a miracle when it can't be proven? The whole point of a language being spoken by people that do not speak that language, or it isn't their native tongue, that's the miracle. That's the intent. That's the point of the story. That's the whole point of the story. And for someone to say that these languages are languages of what we now do in churches, it's totally contrary to the word. And like I said, I'm only just going by the basis of the Bible. I'm not even
I have a scripture to back up to back up my point. You said you didn't know of a scripture. I have one. I mean, okay. Just let me know when.
And hold on, this scripture refers to the exact difference between what Acts is talking about.
It does.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. You gotta remember, you're talking to a Bible man now. Romans 8:26.
Uh huh.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Okay. Now, like I said again, without reading into a scripture to make it say what you want it to say, or
just,
to make it agree, listen.
I'm not making
agree,
nothing. You said
listen,
fine.
Not one time in that scripture did it refer to the distinct difference between Acts and Corinthians. Not once.
You just said, you. Hey, now let's be real now. You said find a scripture. You said find a scripture.
Without reading into it.
Without reading into what? I read it how it is written in the Bible.
And what I'm telling
away nothing from the
exactly.
Scripture,
and I'm saying when I say read into it, I mean exactly what it says. You're basically trying to use that scripture and say the moans and the groans of us not understanding is the same as what as speaking in tongues, which is referred to in Acts and Corinthians, and that's not the case because it doesn't say that. You read into it to make it. Try to say that, but any
I'm
person.
Not making, now you out of line now.
How am I out of line?
You said find a scripture. You said find a scripture, and that's what I just did.
No, okay, so I'm telling you that scripture has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Okay, that's your opinion. I say it does.
Okay, and the reason why you say that is because you're reading into it. Like I said, not one time. Does it distinctly say that God made the language that's referred to Acts, which is a language that they were speaking so people could understand it, to whereas now it's a language that only God and a particular human understands? It's the same thing as the speaking in tongue in Acts. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. In any kind of way does it say that. You read that scripture because you believe that scripture is talking about it. The definition of reading into something. It doesn't say it. You are making that scripture read into what we're talking about.
So let me ask you this. Since you seem to be a master of what's reading into something and what's not.
I'm not a master at it. That's just common sense to me.
What does what he said mean?
It means exactly what it says.
And
okay,
what is that?
So what are you talking about then?
What does it mean?
Read it again. Slowly, so that Jay can hear it.
I'm in Acts now.
Okay, do you remember what the scripture was so I can read it?
I'll get it. Because one thing, you know. Likewise, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Okay. Now he read that. Now Jay, is there somewhere in there that I have to explain to you that
no. Go ahead. Go say what you're saying.
Is there something in there that I have to explain to you to make you see that has nothing to do with speaking in tongues in Acts and in Corinthians? Is there anything in there that I have to explain to you to make you see that? I mean, because if there is, I'll try my hardest to do. I mean, it's as clear as day to me.
No,
he
no.
can read it 700 times.
No, let me read this one.
Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read the 4th verse. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
You have to remember
tongue. Now you're getting ready to do what you accused me of doing.
No, I'm not. The word
utterance.
Tongue.
Okay.
The word
utterance.
Tongue is translated.
Utterance. It says here, the Spirit gave them utterance. All right, now in 8 and 20. Romans 8:26.
Mm-hmm.
I read it again. Hold on. Let me get back to the scripture. Now, remember I just read utterance. Remember I said utterance.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to show you something. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the
answer, I mean, my question to you or my answer, I mean, I can give you an answer first. That doesn't make a difference. In Acts, the purpose of speaking in tongue was what?
It was a sign to non-believers. That's not
okay.
The argument.
No. We're talking about speaking in tongue. That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
That's what we're talking. And I'm saying the difference between Acts and Corinthians, where most people misinterpret it, is because they think the word moan, groan, utterance means eti bodhisattasi amanataha sataha. They interpret that as meaning, because I can't understand it and because the person next to me can't understand it, that means that's the word utterance, that's the word moaning, and this is the word speaking in tongue. I'm telling you, nowhere in Scripture does it refer to one point, it's a language. The next point, it's no language. And you're actually taking words like utterance, moans and groans, and using them in the context of saying these are languages that no one understands, in which it's not referring to that. That's all I'm saying.
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with
what you're saying, because I just read, first of all, number one, Paul said in Corinthians that tongues was meant to be a sign not for believers but non-believers. So I don't
even understand
your argument.
There it is right there. And then I'll fix Corinthians for you, because evidently not you, but most people don't even understand the concept of Corinthians. But I'll clear that up for you. And this is as common sense as I can get. I mean, I said it already, but if I'm actually trying to prove to people that God has given me a gift of speaking in tongue, which is interpreted under Greek as language, a dialect that can be held between one person and another person. If I am saying that God has given me a gift of speaking in a unknown language to myself, because I am an unlearned man in that language, the key point of the miracle is actually speaking a language that I was never taught. How in the world can it be a language, and how in the world can it be a miracle and shown to other people if I'm speaking a language that I don't understand and they don't understand?
But
how is God being proven through that?
But that's what Paul was saying in Corinthians. That's why
No.
Yes, it is.
Listen. Hold. Wait. I'm talking about Acts right now. Listen. I'm talking about Acts. I'm talking about the day of Pentecost.
Okay.
Listen.
We all agree that the purpose of the tongues on the day of Pentecost was for the people outside the upper room.
Wait.
To do with the people in the upper room.
Listen to me. It had everything to do with the people in the upper room and out of the upper room, because they were the ones who were given the gift to do so. So it had a lot to do with them. My question to you is, as plainly as I can put, I'll try to put it even plainer than that. If God is giving me a miracle to prove to other people in Acts, we'll get to Corinthians in Acts, because my question, my big question is, how did it switch? And show me where it switched. But anyway, let's just get to this first. The whole intent of speaking in a tongue, or translated in a language, was to prove to the unbeliever that God can give people learned languages without them learning it, so that they can be witnesses to people who did not understand them. Not only that, but if I'm chilling somewhere and somebody says, God, right now, and I know this person. I mean, I know this person doesn't speak this language. I mean, it It could be my mom. I know my mom doesn't speak Japanese, but at that very particular moment, my mom says, God right now is going to tell me to talk to you in Japanese in a whole conversation. Now, if she starts saying, blah, 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 and she starts gibbering, then I can, me personally, you know, I'm well equipped to know what sounds Japanese or not. I'm going to say, Mom, that's not Japanese. God's not talking to you. You're a liar. But if she actually starts speaking Japanese, and I can, from what I've heard of Japanese language, I can actually pick out words and say, Dad, that really does sound Japanese. And then I can proof it by somebody else who speaks Japanese. That's the miracle. That's the sign for the unbeliever. That's what I'm saying. It's a language. It always has been a language in the context of the Bible. My question now is, in Corinthians, when did it become no language? And if that's the case, it defeats the purpose of speaking in tongues, of the miracle, of the sign for the unbeliever. If I'm in a church where it's with my demographic, it's with the same type of people I grew up with, I mean, all of these people have the same type of environment I come from. What's the purpose of speaking in tongue in that environment? There's none, because nobody speaks a different language. So where does the miracle lie in? Me speaking and saying that God's speaking to me, and I'm speaking a language, I could say anything, and I could say God speak. How would you know? You wouldn't know. How is that a miracle? It's not a miracle. How is God being seen through that? He isn't, because somebody could easily say, just like I'm saying right now, you're not speaking a language. You're saying you're only speaking a language that God understands. How do I know that? But don't you think God is smarter than that? The whole purpose of speaking a language that's not learned is the purpose of the miracle? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me for somebody to believe anything different.
Well, first of all, I still don't understand what your point is, because that's what Paul was saying in Corinthians.
Okay, now,
I read the whole thing, and it's like,
okay,
you're trying to nullify what Paul said, but he's saying
Okay, let's go to Corinthians. Now, do we understand the reason why Paul, when Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthian church, why he was writing this letter to them, the whole purpose behind it? If you don't, and for the listeners out there that may be listening, Paul actually wrote to the Corinthian church not to congratulate them, not to tell them how good of a job that they're doing. He wrote to the Corinthian church because he had a problem with them. They were exactly what we do today in church. We misuse the gifts of God. I'm not denying the gifts. I agree with you, Jay. God does give gifts. And I believe the whole intent of the gift is to fulfill the purpose of the kingdom. Awesome. Totally understood. He wrote to the Corinthian church because they were misusing the gift. And the way they were misusing the gift was because some people actually took the gift and started speaking in the church where they were, where everybody in that church spoke the same language. Everybody in that church didn't necessarily have the gift of speaking another language or interpreted, speaking in another tongue. Everybody didn't have that gift. But the people that did have the gift in the same demographical area where people did speak the same language, it was no point of them speaking in a language that the congregation did not
couldn't understand. Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they couldn't understand it, because they were unlearned. These people did not speak the language that these people were actually gifted to speak or learned actually to speak. So they were misusing the gift. That's why Paul constantly said, this language is not for the believer. Now, prophecy is for the believer, because prophecy is for the building of the saints, to edify the church. But speaking in tongues, That's why it was one of the last gifts he mentioned, because it wasn't that important as the other gifts. Because the whole purpose and the intent of it was for the miracle, was to show the miracle of it. And when they used it, they weren't showing any miracles because nobody was being prospered from it. The only way somebody was being prospered from it is a person that was actually doing it, because they were getting their linguistic skills up. That was the only way they were being edified from it, by themselves, because they kept speaking it. So they were speaking a language that they were actually gifted in doing so, when 9 times out of 10, they didn't even understand what they were saying, because God gave them the gift to speak another language, and they weren't doing it correctly within their own church. Now, if somebody actually came to the church and somebody didn't know the language, and somebody in the church actually started to actually use the gift of speaking in another language, then it made sense. And of course it would make sense. That's why Paul talked about 3 people shouldn't be talking 3 different languages in a church. Because how is that benefiting somebody who's coming into the church? The scripture that you read earlier when you were referring to
it's Corinthians 14 chapter.
Therefore, I hear what you're saying, but
therefore
doing
tongues,
is regurgitating what Paul said. That's what
listen,
the purpose of reading the scripture in the first place.
Therefore, tongues are for a sign. It says it right there, for a sign. Not for those who believe,
Wait, just listen.
I'm reiterating because Jay told me, you know, to get these scriptures, and I'm trying to explain the scripture word for word. I mean, you know, phrase for phrase, so you can understand it.
So you can understand it, because I understand
That's why
I read it in the first place.
Okay, well then, how about for those who are out there?
I'm going to interject right here. I need to interject right here. And I'm going to read a scripture again. I'm going to repeat a part of Corinthians, the 14th chapter. I'm going to start at the 13th verse. It says, "Wherefore, let him that speak in the unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful.
Mm-hmm.
What is it then? When I pray with the spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks?
That's the scripture I was going to read.
He understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou variously givest thanks well, but the other is not edified."
Now, what he just read,
I read that,
proves my point. I know you read it, and I'm telling you, If you didn't read it correctly and didn't understand what I'm saying, you read it out of context.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You keep saying I didn't understand it. Why are you saying I didn't understand it?
Because if you don't agree with me, you didn't understand it.
I never said I didn't agree with you. That's why I'm sitting here confused. I never said I didn't agree with you.
Okay, so I don't know. I mean, because earlier you did say you didn't agree, and you were saying.
No, I said I didn't agree with you saying that. A person that speaks in tongues don't get edified. You just read the scripture yourself that said Paul said he edifies himself.
Yes,
edifies. So he can. That's why I read that again.
No, wait. Listen.
Told him, listen, and hold on.
When I referred to edified,
you can't just cut everybody off and say
no, you're right now, bro.
And we want to say something too. You know what I'm saying? We can say something too. You know what I mean? Because you'll say, and you'll keep going.
No, I won't. All I wanted to do is clear up the edification part. That's it.
You got to let him clear up. If I'm saying something, we all get a chance to clear something up.
Why are we going to stick our head in the word edification?
The bottom line is, Paul said, a man that speaketh in tongues, without an interpretation, edifies himself. Now, whatever you want to deem your interpretation to edify, you can't deny the fact that the man said, if a man or a woman speaks in tongues without an interpretation, he edifies himself. That's what it says, right?
Yes, yes, you're right.
Okay.
And that's, so and
no
that's what I wanted.
Ain't no need of spinning your thing off with what you
think. No, you're right.
Your interpretation
is
edification, because at the end of the day, that's what the man said. That's what's in the Bible, right?
You're absolutely right.
We can all agree with that.
Yes,
totally.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, and I agree. But
that's the only thing I didn't agree with you with.
Okay, but this was my point. This was my point right here. I'm not disagreeing with that sense. My point was the purpose is not to edify himself through the gift of speaking in other languages. That's not the purpose of the gift. That's all I was saying.
Okay, I don't disagree with that, but
you said
that a person that speaks in tongues does not edify themselves.
I think
that's your personal opinion.
No.
Okay, here we go again.
No,
that's your personal
apologize.
Interpretation of the
it's
word edification.
It's not my personal interpretation. I must have said it wrong, and I apologize for saying that wrong, because I didn't mean that if I said it that way.
Okay, that's why I disagree with it.
Hold up. I got to go back. We got to go back to the beginning of the 14th chapter of Corinthians. I just want to read this to put this involved in the conversation. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God.
Thank you. I said that.
No man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speak unto men to edification.
Does anybody else want to say something before I cut anybody else off?
No, I just want to say that was the sole purpose of me reading that.
Exhortation and comfort. And he that speaketh in the unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church.
Okay.
So, according to that, it is possible for a man to speak in tongues and edify himself.
I didn't disagree with that. And that's
so,
not your intent.
But you're saying it's no purpose for him if he edifies himself?
I said that's not the purpose of the gift, for him to edify himself.
The purpose of the gift is to edify himself and to edify others. Because
no, that's not
speaking,
the purpose of the gift.
How is it not? Because, listen.
Because
if
it doesn't say the purpose of the gift is to edify himself.
If someone interprets the gift of tongues, it equals prophecy.
Yes, if someone interprets it. Because
the
purpose...
You, that if you have the gift of tongues, pray for the interpretation too. So you can't, if it's not.
I'm not
going to
cut you off. I'll let you finish. I'm sorry.
If it's not part of a purpose for you to be edified by tongues, through speaking in tongues, you would never be able to edify yourself with tongues.
Are you finished so I can talk?
No, you can talk. I'm just saying, If it's not part of the purpose, a man would not ever be able to edify through the spirit of tongues by edifying himself. I'm not saying it's the whole purpose. The whole purpose is to spread and to edify the body. But it's possible in the midst of that, just like a preacher who preached the word, he could be preaching.
No. Don't go anywhere else because I will lose it. No, I will
example.
Lose it. I'll lose it.
Hold up. I'm just saying that if a preacher preaches, he's preaching the word for others. But yet in the midst of his message, he can preach to himself and be blessed through the word also too.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Now can you go back to the main thing you were saying? Because I totally forgot because you said that thing. It didn't make any sense. I mean, I understood,
no,
but it doesn't.
Listen, this
it
is
totally
what I'm saying.
Doesn't make any sense.
If a person speaks in tongues, I have the gifts of tongues.
Uh-huh.
I'm right now. I'm speaking or I'm praying and I'm speaking. I'm edifying myself.
Don't use examples. Just give me what you just said because I'm not doing it to be rude.
Listen,
I will lose
no,
it.
No, listen. This is what I said. This is what I said. If a person speaks in tongues, it is a purpose behind it for them to be edified, even though the whole scope of the purpose is to edify others. But it is also purpose that he is edified himself too, because if it wasn't purpose, he would not be able to be edified with the gifts of tongues.
Okay. The first part of it, I agree with. The second part, I didn't agree with. And you worded it different, too, this time. But nonetheless.
But it's the same meaning. Every time you say
okay.
something, you're going to come out.
No,
same
yeah,
way,
yeah,
but
no,
it's
no,
the
no,
same
yeah, no,
purpose.
No, I know that, but you said it different. That's why I wanted to cut you off so I can answer that particular question you just posed, but I can't. So, I mean, I'll try. But anyway. You just got to understand, I got a problem. I think too fast and too much, and I lose it very, very quickly. And I apologize.
We all like that.
Yeah, I know.
Going,
I know we are.
What we saying, too.
I know. And it bothers me because I would really have a point, and then I would lose it because, you know, I know it's rude to interject in some cases. And I'll definitely try to work on that. I definitely will. And I would have to start writing stuff down like I did earlier. I just didn't do it just then. But my whole thing on it was when somebody speaks if somebody's moved through the gift of speaking in tongues, the purpose of the gift is not to edify yourselves. Will you be edified through doing it? Yes, the scripture says so. It's apparent
yeah.
that it would be. But the
yeah.
purpose and the intent of it is not for that purpose. It's not
for
you
to be interpreted.
Wait, stop. For you to actually, it's not for you to build your skills up in speaking different languages. That's necessarily not, that wasn't the intent. The intent of it is for the unbeliever. And how is it for the unbeliever? It's through the miracle that I'm speaking a language that I never learned. So if it's a language that I've never learned, then the unbeliever can see the miracle in that. If the unbeliever cannot see the miracle through it, meaning that I'm speaking a language that nobody understands and only myself and God understands.
That's what
oh, no,
be
no,
quiet.
No, no, ho, 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 ho. But
that's
not, no, no, no.
Quiet.
Listen, shh. Not even me understanding, because I don't even understand it, because it's a gift. It's something that was given to me. It wasn't something that was learned. That defeats
but,
the whole purpose of
what,
the gift, which was the miracle.
Paul, Pastor Young just said everything you're saying, Paul is saying. It's like
exactly.
in the scripture.
But hold on, yeah.
And
what you're saying is, I don't know if you're actually saying that this is a language that only you and God knows and nobody else can know. Like, it's a language that only you and God knows. And, like, this is not actually a language that man can understand. That's why I disagree, because it doesn't say that in the Word.
Yes, it does.
Okay, now show. Now
okay.
this is where this
now
is where I want to get it at.
Let me show you.
Okay.
Let me show you. I think Jay just read it. To be honest
yeah.
with you.
He did. But I actually want somebody. I want you to read it again. And after you read it, I want you to explain how you view on it. And then I'm gonna break the scripture down.
Okay, 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not to men, but unto God. So it's not meant for you to understand it, Aaron. It's not meant for you to understand it. It says that right there.
Okay.
For he
right.
that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God.
Okay. All right. Now, you just said that. Now, I'm telling you whether you agree
no,
with me.
No, tell me what the word says. Don't
okay,
give me
yes.
your opinion.
I'm
tell
not
me,
giving you
I
my
just
opinion.
I read scripture.
Listen, listen.
I just
and I'm
read
telling
you. No, you listen.
Yes, you're right.
I just
you're right.
read scripture.
And I'm telling you
if you're gonna,
that you're actually
gonna
reading
that,
it.
You need to give me some scripture, not your opinion.
And I'm going to give you scripture. I'm going to read the same scripture you read, but I'm going to read it within context. And within context, like I said,
I'll read it.
The whole purpose of
No. Read the scripture.
I'm going to read the scripture.
No,
I have to talk
no,
to you
no,
through context.
Read the scripture.
When
I
Paul
read the scripture.
Went to
I didn't
Corinth,
give my opinion.
I mean, actually,
I read the scripture.
When Paul actually went, when he actually wrote to the Corinthian church, he wasn't writing to them because they were doing a great job. He were
okay.
writing to them because
that's
they were
okay.
because
okay.
they actually
where's the scripture?
They actually wasn't doing what they were supposed to do.
Okay.
And they were abusing
where is
the
scripture?
So now I'm gonna read you the scripture within context. Okay?
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to
it
God.
It says unknown.
For no
unknown.
One,
don't no
for
now
no
you're
one,
taken away from the scripture. Because in my Bible, it
speaks,
says unknown
okay,
tongue.
Okay,
it says unknown
okay.
tongue. It says
speak
unknown tongue.
In a tongue does not speak to men. But I'm just reading the New King James Version. That's all I'm reading.
No, doc.
Golly, you
don't hear nothing about no New King James Version, no English Standard Version. I don't want to hear none of that. This here says unknown tongue, doc.
So
you're basically
saying
what's the context?
So you're basically saying that the King James interpretation of the scriptures is better than the New King James and the NIV.
I'm saying now one of them is better.
All right.
But
so
don't
all
you
I'm
say,
doing is reading
you
what
reading
I have
from
in front
the New
of my
King
face.
James Version, now you're reading it in context. Because now you're trying to say that the King James Version is not in context.
No, I didn't say that. All I'm saying is I'm reading, and you said unknown. And I'm saying what I'm reading
but
is
but
you, I didn't make
read,
a point out of that.
You read what we read?
You said
what
we're reading is not in context.
God.
That's what you just said.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. I don't know
listen,
if you guys are that
we're recording this, Doc. Don't forget, we're recording this. We can play it back.
You
said, now I'm going to read it in context.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
You're trying to say that the King James Version is out of context, Doc.
I didn't say that. I didn't,
yes,
even,
you did.
I didn't even make. I didn't
Jay,
even make.
Jay,
listen
what
to
did
me.
He say?
I was not
going
to
read
time.
It in context.
You know, where he was about to go, he was about to go into that whole King James thing.
No, I wasn't going into that. Listen to me. I didn't even mention. Listen to me. I didn't even mention King James. The only thing I did was I read the scripture.
You said
then,
the New King James Version.
Wait, listen.
Said.
Oh my God, are you going to let me talk?
But did you not say I'm going to read it in context from the New King James Version? Did you or did you not?
Are you going to let me speak?
No, I need you to answer your question.
Let him speak. Let him go ahead and speak. Go ahead, Aaron.
Thank you, sir. I said, for he who speaks in the tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Then Apostle Young chimed in and said, it does not, it says unknown.
Yes,
it
unknown.
Says, wait, be quiet, please. Let me finish, and then you can say whatever you want to say. Then I said, I'm only reading the New King James Version. Then Pastor Young, Apostle Young said, No. Read the King James Version. I said, I didn't make the point out of that. You guys did. I wasn't even referring to that.
No, you said,
first of all,
you mean
can I say
me that the King James
you
Version?
You said after I read it, you said, now I'm going to read it in context.
I wasn't talking about the Bible. I wasn't talking about what Bible I was reading it from. I was talking about the context of how Paul was actually talking about the scripture. That's why I wanted to tell you the story of why Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. That's when I said you were reading it out of context. Not the Bible. I didn't say that. That's what you said because I didn't say unknown.
We got a caller. I think we got somebody in here. Hold on. Let me see if I can put them on. If they go through.
God bless you, brothers.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
Who are we speaking to?
My name is Deacon Wilson.
Deacon Wilson, how are you doing, Deacon Wilson?
I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm just sitting here listening to your conversation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I find it very amusing.
I find it very amusing as well.
You know, well, I mean, because I still don't get the point that you're trying to make.
Who's trying to make me, myself?
Yeah. I'm just trying, you know, because me, I'm very, you know, with me, I'm a word man. Right? And,
okay.
And trust me, and I got a degree in the word.
Okay.
All right. So I know how to read in context, and I know how to read out of it. So,
okay.
Mm-hmm. But I'm still trying to understand. What's your point?
Okay, now if I may talk, I would actually view my point. I mean, I thought I was making my point the whole time, but I guess not. Let's actually talk about Corinthians. We already established Acts, and I don't believe I can go into that anymore more than what I did. But in the context of Corinthians, when I was referring to Paul, when Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. He was not congratulating them. He was writing to them because they were misusing the gifts. Now, when you are referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, for it says, and I'm reading the New King James Version because that's the Bible in front of me that I'm reading. I apologize that I don't have any other Bible in front of me. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Okay. What I take from that scripture is the same thing I take from Acts. The person is misusing the gift. He's still speaking a language that men would understand if men who spoke the language was actually there. But what he's doing is he's speaking a language that was given to him through the Spirit, which was the miracle. He's speaking in this language. By him speaking in this language, he can't understand himself because he didn't learn it. And the only person that understands it is God, because God is supposed to know all languages. So basically, he's misusing the gift because he's only speaking to God. And he's not speaking to no one else because nobody understands the language that he's speaking, because everybody in the church that he's attending speaks the same dialect. That's what I'm referring to. I don't know if I can get any more clearer than that.
Okay.
I'm saying it for now.
Okay. But my question is this. Let me say this. One thing we have to understand is when, especially comes to these different interpretations of the Bible, these different versions that they have, right? We understand that the King James Version is the closest one, closest to, you know, even though King James was jacked up, we all know that anybody that really do study know King James was jacked up, but his version, his version is the closest to the original text that was out there, and if you look at the different versions, when you take words out, it changes the meaning of the sentence. Because so you have to be careful in your interpretation, what interpretation that you use, because yeah, the language may be clearer, but then you're taking away from what the text is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my thing is this. When in verse 2, when it talks about, when it said that he that speaketh in an unknown language speaketh not unto men, but unto God, no man understandeth him, you know. So my question, I have to ask you this. Do you believe that there is a spiritual language.
A spiritual language that nobody can understand except God?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe that because it doesn't mention that in the Bible. The only language of speaking in tongue that it mentions is the language that's understood by men.
Okay, now wait, hold on. I remember earlier when the gentleman quoted the scripture from Romans when it said the Spirit gave, you know, Spirit, you know, when you pray, the Spirit gave utterance in a language with no utterance. Right? I'm paraphrasing. Excuse me, I'm doing like 10 different things right here. But, okay, so that scripture is saying that when we pray, our spirit is praying in a language that we don't understand. That's what that scripture is saying. So how can you say that you don't believe, you said, now, because I hear you now, you said you believe the word, but then now the word said that we can pray, that our spirit prays in a language that cannot be uttered, but then you're saying that there is no spiritual language.
Okay.
It can't be both.
Okay, now to answer your question, when the scripture in Romans, it says moans and groans.
Yeah.
Moans and groans are totally different from the word tongue. Tongue is actually translated in whatever Bible you would like to read. It's translated as language. Moans and groans and moans and groans is exactly what it is, but it still doesn't take away from the fact that when Paul was speaking to these Corinthians, it doesn't take away the fact that they were misusing the spiritual gifts.
Okay. Well, now,
I don't deny that at all.
No. Well, anybody that reads the word, right, with clear understanding, well, you would understand that Paul was rebuking them almost the whole First Corinthians, that he was just lighting them up because they were messing up. We can understand that. But then also in that, he was teaching them how to use it properly. That's why he said, if you're going to speak in an unknown tongue, you ought to pray for interpretation.
What does that have to do with what I said?
I understand what you're trying to say, that tongues should be just somebody talking in another language, right? That's what you're saying. Basically, that's what you're trying to say. If it's not somebody speaking in another language, that's not considered tongues. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying.
That's what you're saying, right? But see, then what you're doing, you're taking away from what the word is really saying, because we see that the word of God is in paper, right? It's written in paper, right? But it has a spiritual significance to it, because see, because I'm a child of God, I can read it and I get revelation out of it, right? It does something for me. But then you can have an unbeliever read this book, and it'll just be a book that sit up on shelf. They get dusty. So
I understand what you mean. But
no,
again,
you
that has yes, but that has
but
nothing
you,
to do with what we're actually speaking
okay,
about.
Okay,
I apologize. I don't mean to sound rude or anything.
No. But see, I also noticed that you know that your mind is made up in what you're saying. But see, but like what I'm trying to say to you is that you're interpreting it in a plain simple, this is what it said, this is it. But then also the point I'm trying to make to you is that when it comes down to the word of God, right, there is simple language, right, and there's revelatory language in this. Because the same way with Jesus, when Jesus taught, right, he gave parables. That was simple language, but it had heavenly meaning. So in the text, there are things that has heavenly meaning.
Okay.
So that could be. Now, if you want to read it that way, that's on you. I can't argue with that, because that's your understanding. But that, from what I hear with the other gentlemen, that's not their understanding. It's not as well as mine either.
Okay.
You know?
And I definitely understand everything you're saying. I can't necessarily. I can't agree or disagree when it comes to the spiritual aspect of it, because I can't necessarily determine whether your spirit is connected with God or not. That's between you and God, and you know I would never judge that. But what I'm speaking about is specifically about the topic of speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
And when we actually are referring to speaking in tongues, you have to take it within the context of what it is. And my thing is, did Jesus ever speak in tongues? No. You know why? Because everybody around him spoke the same language. He actually spoke to Palestine. The people that around him spoke the same language.
Well,
in the Old Testament.
Jesus,
wait, hold on. I got to finish.
You got to understand who Jesus was sent.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
For the
okay, listen. That's my point. In the Old Testament as well, you don't hear about people speaking in tongues. Reason being is because
the Holy Spirit rested on them. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them, so they couldn't speak in tongues.
Listen to what I'm saying to you. I don't even want to go further into the Holy Spirit and all this stuff because we can actually take it there, but I'm quite sure we don't have that much time. But my thing is, I'm making a point.
We're
listen,
on the
listen.
Air, and it goes
okay.
off the air, too.
Okay, we actually can do it off the air. But I'm making a point, and my point is, the reason why they didn't speak it in the Old Testament, nor did Jesus speak it, was because in the Old Testament, they were speaking to their demographic and the people that actually spoke the same language that they were speaking. Jesus actually spoke to the people in his demographic, the people that understood him, the people, so he didn't have to speak another language. But
sir,
when,
sir,
hold on,
I
but
have
when,
to disagree with you,
hold
sir.
On, wait.
Sir, you listen, now you're talking out of context.
I'm not
right?
talking out of context.
Yes, you,
I haven't
yes,
even
you
finished
are,
yet.
And I'm
going
to show you why. You can't compare the Old Testament and the New Testament.
You
those two different things.
The Old Testament and the New Testament because you still believe in the Old Testament. But that's not the
sir,
point what
sir.
I'm making.
Sir,
that's
the
not
point,
the point
I'm making,
that I'm making.
The point that I'm making, sir, is that the Holy Spirit dwelt on them and not
okay.
in them.
Okay. If you don't want to...
Let's be clear with this.
If you do not want to talk about the Old Testament, I'm okay with that because I still can make my point within the context of where I'm going. Because
okay.
likewise,
just be
my
clear,
context
sir.
Is...
Saying that they couldn't
my
speak
context
in the Old
is...
And there was a reason why.
I had a valid point for saying that, but evidently you missed it. But that's okay. My thing is...
I'm still waiting for one point.
My thing is the spirit of speaking in tongue, the intent of it was for non-believers. And why was it for the non-believer? It was for the non-believer... for the intent to show miracle, that God is actually working through men who do not know the language. So if that's the case, how in the world can it be a miracle for the non-believer to see if I'm speaking a language that no one understands whether or not somebody is in the actual church and somebody is not being someone is not understanding it because I'm not speaking a language. It's only a language that me and God understands. That's not a miracle because you cannot show that
Aaron,
to be a miracle.
Listen, I need to talk right here. I need to say this right here. We're not disagreeing with that.
Yes,
we
you are disagreeing with
no,
that.
No, we no. In the beginning of the show, we said, listen, if you're in church and you're speaking in tongues openly, if there's not an interpreter, right, you should be quiet because the church is not being edified. But
yes,
what you're saying, this is what you're saying. You're saying that tongues don't, you're saying really, it's really almost not real if someone is just speaking in tongues because it's the purpose of it is just for the non-believer. But you're saying that actually an actual heavenly language doesn't exist in a sense.
Yes, I'm saying that because it doesn't say that in the Word, and that totally nullifies the whole purpose and the intent of speaking in tongues.
So how can, we read in Acts,
yeah. mm-hmm.
right? What is it, the second chapter? Was the second chapter? I believe it was the second chapter. Hold up.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. Let me go here.
Second chapter, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly they came from heaven and a sound of mighty rushing wind. That one?
No. I believe it was the scripture that Pastor Young read.
In Acts or Romans?
No, Romans. Romans. The one in Romans.
Yeah. And we just explained that one.
No.
Groans and moans
is
not the same thing as speaking in tongues.
No, listen. I'm not talking about that scripture. I'm talking about if someone is speaking, it says if a man is speaking, and he's speaking unto God.
Yeah.
He's speaking unto God. So you mean to tell me that you're saying that you don't believe in that actual scripture right there, then? You don't believe in that verse?
Yes, I do. But I'm telling you that he's speaking is a language that God only understands. It's not a language that was learned. It was a language that was given because it's a gift. So he doesn't even understand it.
Wait, excuse me.
That's
excuse
what
me.
I'm saying.
Can I ask a question? Wait. I heard him just say that. I heard him ask you that. Do you believe that men can speak in a heavenly language, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you said no, right? Right?
Yes, in the language that we refer to as heavenly in church.
No,
talking about the charismatic,
okay,
where it's not an actual language. Yes,
okay,
I did
okay.
say.
Okay. Well, all right. We all understand that people misuse that in church today. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because they got a school that teaches you how to speak in tongues. People sit in the mirror and just repeat the same thing all over again. You'll just be making a noise. Yeah, we understand that. We understand.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I'm understanding from what I get out of scripture, right? That there is a heavenly language, right? That can be spoken, right? You know, and I understand what the gentleman was saying. That yes, if you're speaking in tongues, you need to be keep your mouth shut or be low. You don't need to be standing up in front of the congregation with no interpreter and just be going off and on.
Because
you're confusing people then.
Thank you.
Wait, I'm getting to my point now. Because the reason why I kept going to the spiritual sense, because I sincerely believe there's a heavenly language. And I will go to the Old Testament for this part, for this one right here. Now, when Moses and God was speaking, Moses understood God. But when the children of Israel said Moses, we want to speak to God. And God told Moses to bring them to the foot of the mountain. But when God spoke, they couldn't understand what God was saying. They only understood the thunder and the smoke that was there, and they were terrified from it. So that tells me that there is a language between man and God, because everybody can't communicate with God on the level that Moses did. So as when the gentleman was saying, when the dispensation of grace in the New Testament, and when the Holy Spirit came and started dwelling in man, you know, I believe that brung, because where do the spiritual gifts come from anyway but the Holy Spirit? You know, you can't operate in any of these spiritual gifts unless you are filled with the Holy Ghost.
Endowed with power.
Yeah,
the gifts wasn't mentioned until the Holy Ghost came.
There you
That's
go.
That's what the purpose of the upper room was for.
So there is a heavenly language in there. Now, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, because on the day of Pentecost, every man spoke in the other person's language, yes. But there also is a heavenly language. And I will also agree that it's misused in church today. That's why there's a confusion.
Yes.
You know, another reason why I actually sat on it is because I had to do a thesis on this for one of my classes. You know, so I understand what you're saying, but you can't deny the fact of what the scripture is saying. Because the scripture is saying, right, that there is a language that man utters that's only between man and God if it's not interpreted. So, and then Paul also said, if you don't, I'm paraphrasing, but if you don't have an interpreter, your mouth will stay quiet. And because you ain't doing nothing for nobody.
And what I have been saying all along is,
yes,
the language that's actually spoken through these men are languages that are unlearned, which shows the miracle within it.
Well,
but
okay,
it's actually a language that's spoken. How can someone rectify a language if no one understands it? It defeats the whole purpose of a language. Even an interpreter. How can someone say that the interpreter is actually saying what this person is speaking, that him and God only knows? How can they even say the interpreter is telling the truth? Because nobody can justify it. Who can verify what they're saying?
Okay,
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
And it's a simple question. And this to you, Aaron. You keep talking about miracles when you refer to these passages of scriptures. I don't read nowhere in these passages of scripture, I don't even see the word miracle. I see edifying of the church. I don't see nothing about no miracles. So why do you keep saying referring to when you start talking about tongues, why are you referring to a miracle?
Because me personally, and this
Thank
is
you.
Just me.
You personally.
Okay, listen, yeah, you're right.
Okay.
I am. I'm going to say.
At least we got that clear.
Me personally, uh-huh. I believe, and I'm quite sure everyone else would think this. If my daughter came to me, my daughter's 2 years old, and she, right now she only speaks baby talk, so she speaks gibberish. Maybe God understands that. I don't know. But let's say she starts speaking to me in Japanese. Now, I'm not going to look at that as being edification. I'm going to look at that as being a miracle. Likewise, if a man is unlearned and he's never spoke my language in his whole entire life, the whole intent for God to show his miraculous power, I mean, God pouring out his spirit is something miraculous. That's something to show as a miracle. Now, if you don't think that's a miracle, I mean, hey, I don't know. But I sure do think that's a miracle for someone to have been speaking a language that they actually never learned and they just got all of a sudden because of God's Holy Spirit. Now, I think that's a miracle. Because that just doesn't happen every day. Now, somebody actually getting their car paid for it and they don't know where the money came from, I wouldn't necessarily see that as a miracle. But somebody speaking a language that actually they've never learned it, that's a miracle to me.
Well, I believe that if Paul's intent was to say that tongues was meant to be used to perform a miracle, he would have said that.
I didn't say anything about him meaning to perform a miracle.
But that's what you're saying.
I'm saying that speaking in tongue is a miracle for people who've never actually learned it.
The reason why I believe there is a spiritual language between man and God is because, first of all, it says that God is a spirit and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So to even communicate with God is something spiritual that must take place. And with our own mind and our own thinking, just with the scripture that Pastor Young read about the moanings and groanings, where it talks about we don't know what to pray for, because we don't. Our carnal mind is full of all different type of confusions. So it has to be done in the spirit to actually purify what we mean. So it's the spirit that searches our hearts and breaks down in communication so we can actually communicate with God. Our carnal words will get in the way of that. That's what that scripture is for.
And you know what? I can totally agree with you what you just said. But when it's talking about Acts and when it's talking about Corinthians and about speaking in tongues,
One second. Listen, everyone right now, we're about to go off the air. This is Dirty Church Radio. But this conversation will continue. We're going to have an off-the-air session. But listen, the conclusion of this discussion will continue tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock tomorrow evening on Sunday. I hope you all call in. God bless. We off the air right now, but we can continue this right here. Fellas.
Okay.
Like I was saying, Jay,
I definitely agree with you. Yeah, there may be some things that we might not be able to know what to say dealing with you know, our desires to God or praying to God. I mean, I understand. I mean, I've experienced that before. I understand that. But I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is, like I said, the gift of speaking in tongues in Acts and the gift of speaking in tongues mentioned in Corinthians and everywhere else in the Bible. Of the gift of speaking in tongues. That's what I'm referring to. I'm not talking about the moans. I'm not talking about the groans. I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm talking about the actual gift of speaking in tongues.
Well, what about in Corinthians, verse 6? Now, you tell me what you think of verse 6.
Hold on, I got to have
14 and 6, okay.
He said verse 6. Now,
14 and
chapter
6.
14, verse 6?
Yes.
6 up until what? Just verse 6, that's it?
Yeah, just
okay.
Verse 6.
Okay, now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? I mean, that clearly states up what I just said.
Okay.
Because there still, he's talking about how in the world am I going to prophesy? I mean, how is this going to benefit you if my tongues, it is speaking with some type of understanding? It says revelation, knowledge. And he's saying speaking to you, brethren, speaking to you, not speaking to God, not a language that nobody else understands. He's saying, how is this benefiting you as a body?
But that's why in verse 13 he said, therefore let him speak in a tongue, pray that he may interpret.
Exactly.
Okay, so
that he may interpret the language that God has given him through the gift of the Spirit, but it's the actual language. So that if somebody is actually there, if somebody's actually...
Verse 14 too, though. You got to read verse 14,
yeah,
too.
I'll read any scripture you want me to read. Which one do you want me to read?
Read verse 14.
Yeah.
Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy.
No. 14.
14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit.
Oh, verse 2.
Yeah.
No, verse,
yeah,
14.
Okay, I'm reading 14. That's what I read.
No, 14.
Verse 14. I'm sorry, I was
reading chapter 14, my fault, I apologize. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Exactly, my point again.
Wait,
I'm going to explain it. You wanted me to explain it. You said, how about 14? Let me explain it.
Yeah.
The person is saying what I've been saying. He's speaking a language that was given to him by the Spirit. So he may not necessarily understand unless he has the spirit of interpretation. But he's speaking a language, and it was mentioned to us in Acts, because Acts is a language. I'm saying in nowhere does it say it totally changed context where it's no longer a language anymore. Because
but
now
says,
he's...
But listen like this. Let's say if right now,
okay,
right, if... And I'm just using this as an example.
Mm-hmm.
To you, what is an unknown tongue?
A tongue that I do not know.
No, that's unknown, period.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, a tongue that I don't know.
No, the tongue is unknown.
Meaning that I don't know it.
Who knows it?
Me, myself. That's who I'm
talking to. Who knows the unknown tongue?
The person who speaks the language.
So let me ask you. So you don't believe that God can manifest a tongue that nobody understands?
I believe God can do whatever God chooses to do. I'm just referring to the scriptures.
Okay.
And the scriptures
state that it is
understood.
Can we go to the Old Testament for a minute, too?
Yeah.
Because it's a scripture that talks about God is going to speak in a language in another tongue to speak to his people. I think it's Isaiah. Yeah, Isaiah. The 28th chapter. And start at the 7th verse into the 11th verse.
Isaiah 28 and what?
Start at the 7th to the 11th verse.
You didn't want to read it out loud?
Yeah.
And these also stagger from wine and reel from beer. Priests and prophets stagger from beer and are rebuttaled with wine. They reel from beer. They stagger when seeing visions. They stumble when rendering decisions. All the tables are covered with vomit, and there is not a spot without filth. Who is it he is trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children wearing from their milk? To those just taken from the breast? For it is do and do, rule on, rule on, rule. A little here, a little there. Verily then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to this people. Not one time does it say there that it's a language that no one knows except God and whoever he's the individual. It says foreign tongues, and that what that means is foreign to the people he's referring to.
Well, in the King James Version, I mean, it may mean the same thing, but it says with stammering lips and another
yeah.
tongue.
Yeah, it means the same thing.
Will he speak to his people?
Well, you just said that God can do just about anything he chooses, right? Right?
Uh-huh.
But then you're saying that God wouldn't have a heavenly language.
No, I'm saying within the confounds and the textual confinement of the scriptures. Now, if you were actually saying that God can do these things, of course, you could say God can do anything. Of course, I'm not refuting that.
But if you're saying that it could not be that in the word, then you're saying that God can't do it because God's word is God, isn't it?
I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is what the word says and the word teaches. Exactly what it says and teaches, that's what I am interpreting. That's what I'm talking about. Now, if you're actually saying something else beyond that, then that's your belief, and you have every right to do so.
Yeah, I'm talking what the word is saying also, you know? And the word tells me that there's a heavenly language.
But the word doesn't say that. You believe that, and there's nothing wrong with believing that. I'm just saying that according to Acts, and according to Corinthians and wherever else it's actually shown, it's talking about an actual language. Now, if you can find me another scripture where it's saying that God speaks this language that nobody understands in the whole entire world, this language is only subject to God and whoever he gives.
Can I read a scripture?
Yeah.
a scripture? And I'm going back to Corinthians. I'm going back to Corinthians, 14 and 39 and 40.
Okay, hold on, I want to get that too. You said Corinthians 14, 39, and 40? Okay.
Yeah. All right. It says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. What's your interpretation of that scripture?
Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. It's basically saying, listen, brothers, I earnestly tell you, do not speak in these tongues that you are speaking because it's not benefiting anybody.
I give up, Doc. I give up. I give up. I'm going to read one more scripture. Let's read 38. But if any man be ignorant...
Wait. Before you continue, you tell me what you think that scripture is referring to.
it's plain. It says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues.
What is it saying?
Paul is saying there's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues, Doc. But
now, did I ever say that there's anything wrong with it?
Huh?
I never said there was something wrong with speaking in tongues.
If you go by what you're saying, brother, you are saying that.
When did I ever say that there's anything wrong with speaking? And I've never said that ever since I've gotten on the thing. I've never said that there's something wrong with speaking in tongues. Not one time did I say that. And I'm quite sure everybody
well,
on the
phone
can
Well, that's the interpretation that I'm getting you're saying. How about
no,
that?
No. No, I would never say that it's wrong to speak in tongues. No, not for one. I'm saying that the tongues, what the scriptures are referring to, is an actual language that someone can understand. That's all I'm saying. I didn't say
and
not one time.
The person who speaks it is the one that the tongue is unknown to.
It can be, yes, unless they have, the also the gift of interpreting.
Okay, well, I see that to me, we're playing semantics. We're playing semantics with the word tongue.
No, because the word tongue means language, so there's no semantics within it.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. Because
no, it's not.
Paul said unknown tongues.
Well,
and unknown tongues is for the person who's speaking it and for the people who do not understand it.
Okay, well, read verse 26.
Verse 26. It says, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation.
No.
Each of.
Okay, no, guys. I'll let you finish. Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Did you want me to read 27 too?
Yo, that's all read?
Yeah, read 27.
Yo, Aaron, read yours again.
How is
God,
it
let
then,
all
brother?
Things be done unto edifying.
Like,
how
Aaron,
is
read your 26 verse, Aaron.
How is it then,
brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification.
Okay.
If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. You want me to read 28 too? But
go
if
ahead.
There is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God.
Okay.
I'll keep reading if you want me to. Okay, well,
now, that clearly states, right, that there is an unknown tongue, right, that needs to be interpreted.
Yes.
Now, whether it be a tongue that's written for all the languages on the earth, or whether, because do we really know what are all the languages on the earth?
No.
Do we really know all the languages on the earth? That has nothing to do.
No, because my thing is this. If you're saying it's another language, right? Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to go, yo, it's another language.
Okay.
How do you know that when an individual is actually operating in that gift,
mm-hmm.
they are not speaking a language that you just have not heard yet?
Because the whole purpose for the language is to speak to someone that actually can
understand
that language.
I got you. I hear that.
But for someone to understand it, not for no one to understand it, because if that's the case, then there is no, you cannot justify the spirit, because anybody
what
can say.
What if it's interpreted? What if it's interpreted?
There you go. Because see.
Like I said before, if it is interpreted, how can someone proof the person interpreting it?
How can you prove they're not?
Because
exactly.
if I speak the language, then if the person who's interpreting it, if they're not interpreting it right, I'll say, hold on, you're not saying what this person said to me in my native tongue.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you believe that God can speak a word to you through somebody else?
Just like I said before, I believe God can do anything God chooses to do.
Okay, but I know that because that type of answer is saying, of course, we all know that God can do whatever he want to do because he's God. But I'm asking you personally, do you believe that somebody can speak a word to you from God? Do you believe that?
Without me knowing, I would question that. I don't know, honestly. I really don't know. Without me knowing myself, I don't know.
Okay.
First of all, prophecy is nothing but a confirmation of information that you already know.
Okay. Well, that wasn't his question, but I agree with that. I mean, that's what prophecy means.
But that's the answer. That's the answer to the question. If you know what prophecy is, that's the only answer you can come up with.
And
so
if
you understand what prophecy is, then you should have been able to answer the question.
Well, I mean, to be totally honest with you, I don't necessarily understand everything totally about prophecy.
Okay.
I don't understand everything about it.
So if you don't understand everything about prophecy, you can't. There's no way you're going to understand everything about tongues. So why are we even having this debate?
Wait.
I don't look at this as a debate. I look at this platform. Let me say this because we got listeners out there.
Yeah.
Dirty Church Radio is not about a debate. It's hearing
different
views.
No, not at all.
Views.
That's
it's
all it is.
It's hearing different views because, honestly, we can all go to the same church and hear the same word, and many people will look at what was said differently. So we all think differently. We all have different perceptions about stuff. Dirty Church Radio is, even in the midst of disagreements that we all have every day,
all it is a platform.
Can we come to?
Okay, okay, I understand all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can we at least agree that if somebody don't understand prophecy, they're not really going to understand tongues?
No, I would totally disagree with that.
Okay, well, hey.
Well, I can understand
if you don't
that.
Understand prophecy, which you just said, you just
I said I don't understand
it.
Everything about prophecy.
Okay. But
because
but to me now, this is my opinion, to me, you're speaking like an authority on what you're saying about tongues.
The only thing that I'm saying about tongues is actually what I am reading from the book, which is within Acts, Corinthians, and wherever else the gift of speaking in tongue is referring to. Now, like I said, I don't necessarily know everything about prophecy because I didn't in particular the way I did with speaking in tongue, study the prophetic, because in a lot of ways there's a lot of avenues you can go into when it comes to prophecy, and I haven't necessarily studied. So that's why I'm sitting here telling you the truth. I wouldn't sit here and have this type of in-depth conversation dealing with prophecy, but I can with tongues.
But I ain't even gonna go there.
Well, you guys, tongues with interpretation equals prophecy.
That's what
I can agree with that.
But that's what I just said. And when I said it, you totally disagreed with me. But when Jay said the same thing I just said you agree with him. Now I'm confused.
Wait. I misinterpreted what you said, but I didn't hear you say what Jay just said.
Okay, I said prophecy and tongues go hand in hand. That's what I said. And you said
I totally
disagree with that.
Like I said, maybe I may have mistook you. But what Jay just said, I I agreed with. Now, if you said that in another way.
I mean, did anybody else hear me say that?
Yeah, I heard you say
no,
that.
No, I heard you.
And guess what? This ain't the first time I've said the same thing even you have said, and you said you disagreed with me. So I'm totally confused.
Well,
at one
Webster,
point in time, me and you were saying the same thing on the phone, and every time I said it, you said you disagreed. But I was saying the same thing. You were saying tongues was not meant to be assigned to believers, but to non-believers. I said that was one of the first things I read when I started reading.
And like I said, if I said anything that you may have said or I may have agreed with or you may have said another way, I may have said another way, I told you earlier, I apologize. I apologize again if that was the case.
You know, so what I think that happens in church, in many churches throughout time, is that I believe when we go to church, and earlier in the show I was talking about how it's easy to mimic things that you see. And I think that a lot of times in church, we're exposed to the what we see with our eyes through the movements of people. And we're exposed to all those things before we actually get an opportunity to get in the Word and actually hear what the Word says. So let's say we've been doing something for 10 years, and then we find out that the Word says something else. We'll still hold on to what we've been doing for 10 years because we don't want to feel like what we've been doing the whole time was fake and phony.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Jay? Me and you had this conversation before, and like I said before, I don't necessarily think that it's fake and phony per se.
No,
Just wait. I want to finish.
I don't want people to think that I'm
saying that. No, I know. That's why I'm basically trying to fix it up to what we talked about before. It's not necessarily fake and phony. It's because if I thought something to be true for a very, very long time, and my parents thought it to be true, and their parents thought it to be true, and we kept that tradition or whatever you want to call it alive, then it's not necessarily something that you can fault me because I was ignorant to the facts. And until I come to the understanding of the truth about the matter, that's when you can hold it against me. But a lot of people don't necessarily understand the truth about certain things, and they keep following the traditions of what they have seen, not necessarily taught, but what they have seen and what they have experienced. And I'm saying in a sense of how we see speaking in tongue, coming back to the topic, speaking in tongue, I believe that was something learned. And I believe that that takes away from God's glory. Reason being is because I believe the whole concept of the miracle is exactly that. The whole concept of the greatness of God's Spirit is to see how great He is. And if I'm actually speaking a language that I've never learned in my whole entire life to people who've never heard of Jesus Christ, and I'm speaking Japanese and I'm speaking German and I'm speaking all of these languages, and God's given me the gift to do so, I believe that's the Spirit. I believe that right there is God showing His miraculous power.
Yeah.
That is a form of His power.
What?
I just want to say this one thing, right, and I'm going to let the brother and y'all can go ahead. I just want to read this thing, and I believe that this is a problem. This is what happens a lot of times. It says, among people who have inspirational experiences or prophecy, tongues and interpretation of tongues, it is very easy for one to claim that the Holy Spirit is moving upon him and that he should not quench the Spirit. This attitude of being determined to obey the Spirit leads to abuse of such gifts many times, causing much confusion in the church. Let no man claim to be moved by the Holy Spirit who acts disorderly and causes confusion, for God is not the author of such. I think a lot of times we use as an excuse a lot of times
when we do things and we say, all right, it's the Spirit of God, and then when it takes us to a confused atmosphere, or we have nothing, it's like we will hide behind, well, it was the Spirit, and we'll blame it on the Spirit. And it's like, how can we, it's, I believe that's what's wrong a lot of times in church. We blame and we hide behind the excuse of this, the Spirit moving upon us.
But Dang, Jay, that was awesome.
No,
that,
I'm
that,
just saying.
That was awesome.
You know what I mean? It's like we hide behind that example. But, and you see this in church every day. But it's so much confusion in church every day with so many people claiming that it's the Spirit moving. And I believe that's what gets the church looked at in a certain way, where people begin to mock and look at it as being something fake and not
Wait.
Real.
Jay, can I ask you a question, and then I won't I'll be done. I just want to ask you personally a question. Oh, well, I mean, it can anybody can answer it. But my question to you is, you fairly know me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, from what you know about me, you know that I don't necessarily speak Yugoslavian, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That I know of, yeah.
Yeah, that you know of. Now, if someone from Yugoslavia came to our church and I got off my instrument and I started speaking Yugoslavian to that person, would there in any kind of way be any type of doubt in your mind that God is moving?
I'd be like, yo, I would really be like, wow, I didn't know.
Now,
but you know, can I say something?
Wait.
I'm answering your question. I'm saying you asked me a question. I'm answering it.
Okay.
When I think that, I believe also, too, that this is something that I believe. I may be wrong, and if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. I believe that God can move upon you in the Spirit. Let's say you're speaking in your regular language, and you're talking. And to you, you're talking like how you talk now. I believe that you can speak, God can use you, and to you it may sound like you're just talking in your language, but God will move upon your voice and allow those that are listening to be able to understand what you're saying in their language. Like you'll sound just like they'll just hear you like they supposed to hear you.
I believe
but
that.
You may, say that again.
I said
I believe that.
I guess it makes sense. What you're saying.
No. Well, listen. I'm going to say this, and you know, I'm going to say this because my pastor just died 2 weeks ago, right? And I'm one. I didn't grow up in the church. Right, and I knew, and like I said, I seen a lot of the phoniness, all the Jack Lake preachers and all that. I knew about all the phony, the fake stuff. But the time I spent with my pastor, I come to find out that a lot of these things that people are faking, actually is real. You know, because my pastor was one that operated in the gifts of tongue and prophecy, and the only time he spoke in tongues That was the only time he spoke in tongues was when he was getting ready to interpret something to somebody. And I've been with him. We done went all the way around the country. And I firsthand seen people we just meet. You know, he was one that if we went to somebody else's church, he wouldn't talk to nobody from the church. He wouldn't talk to the pastor. He'd go sit in the hotel room and lock himself in there, and he'd let us deal with everybody. That way, when he went to the church and he had to minister to somebody, you know, it'd be no way they could say it was fake. So, like I said, I seen it happen firsthand. So I know. So I know it's real. You know.
Let me ask you, where are you from, brother? Where are you from?
I'm
where
from
are you calling in from? New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And not only that, but I also want to say I'm sorry for your loss, man. With your pastor.
Yeah. Well, the Lord called him home. I mean, nothing we could do. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Lord called him home. And one thing with him, you know, when he said God told him something. Now, when he said something, there were times he erred, but when he said God told him to say something, he never missed. You know. And so, like I said, so I know these things are real. Now, my mother operated in the prophetic, but she didn't even know how to use it. Because whenever she had a vision or a dream, she told us, it never missed. So, like I said, I know these things are real. So, I know people can talk in tongues, and when you interpret it, it is edifying to the body, to somebody. But I also know that in church today, people jack that thing up. I mean, people get up and say something, just get foolish about it. Because I had one guy come to prayer one day, and he was acting like he talking in tongues, but he was chanting.
Well,
you know, I was praying, and I just heard it in the spirit. He was chanting.
Well,
so,
like
yes,
I'm sorry. The only thing that I would say just dealing with what you just said is, me personally, dealing with the kind of tongues that I believe you three are referring to, I believe that I don't think anybody would be able to tell if they were actually speaking to God or not, because it would be something between them and God. So it would be more so what you think or what you believe. My whole point earlier when I was talking to Jay was basically, well, I talked to all of you, was basically if I actually spoke a language, me personally, or let's say just some preacher that people knew to be some type of sham or some type of scam, he wasn't truthful all the time.
Yeah.
But if that, and everybody knew that preacher to lie, so if this preacher was speaking in tongues, whatever, people would question him. People would definitely question him. They would say, well, you know, nine times out of ten it's not of God, because this preacher has lied a lot of times. But if this preacher actually started doing things that he wasn't learned to do, and he actually started feeling the real move of God, and it was proof behind it, and the proof was actually he started speaking these languages that he had no way of knowing, in any type of way, he had no way of knowing. I believe there lies your evidence of how miraculous God can actually work. I think in any other sense of the word tongue, I honestly do not believe that it can be proven in any kind of way. Can anybody tell whether or not this person is speaking in tongue or not? You can believe that they're not, but you would never know, because that's between them and God. And I believe the whole intent of speaking in tongue was for the purpose and the intent of to spread the gospel and to see God's miraculous power through his spiritual gift.
Well, I will say this from my own personal experience, because when I first met my pastor, and, you know, and he ministered to me, right, and he spoke in tongues before he told me what God said, and this is how I knew he was real, because he told me something that I never told nobody. The only person that knew about what I did, right, was between me and God. I never told nobody. I never told anybody. And he spoke to me about that. So I knew that to be real, because I said to myself, how in the world he knew that? So somebody had to tell him, because I never told nobody. And to this day, the only person that knows is me, him, and God, because I still ain't tell nobody. So, I mean, I can understand how you feel, you know, I can understand, but me personally, I've experienced it. I know it to be real. You know, and I also know that people fake it and mess it up and make it hard to believe. I know that too. But it's real.
This is what I believe when it comes to that. And I believe, I mean, when if I speak in tongues and I'm in a place of non-believers, right, and I speak in tongue and I speak in another man's language, right, and they look at it and they like, wow, it must be God, right? But I also believe that I can speak in tongues, all right? I'm speaking with God, and God gives me the interpretation of the tongue, which then it equals prophecy. Now that word is for the believer. So what with the interpretation, it becomes for the believer because it's prophecy. And prophecy is what? For the believer. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that there is a language that we can speak in other languages to get God's assignment and accomplish his agenda or whatever it is. But I also believe that there is a spiritual communication with God that gives us revelation, that takes us outside of this earth realm and takes us into a spiritual place that will give us an understanding to understand all things that are needed for us in this walk with Christ. And I believe that when we communicate with God, or when the Spirit begins to pray and moan and groan, those things that can't be uttered, if it's uttered, it can't be uttered, because if it was uttered, when the Spirit, who would understand it? Because it would sound like moanings and groanings, because it wouldn't sound like a language. And that's what that scripture, when Pastor Young was reading that, moanings and groanings, there is a language spiritual that it can't be uttered to the point where you can actually say that, oh, that's Japanese, oh, that's German. It's a spiritual language that the earth realm cannot categorize.
Can't comprehend.
And tell you what it is.
Can't comprehend it.
I believe that. It's a language that can't be labeled or distinguished what it is, because it's from a spiritual place. But I do believe, like I said on this line earlier, I do believe that a lot of the sounds and tingling brass that goes on in church is not that language. I do believe a lot of the languages that we do here in church is something that was mimicked by them looking at someone else. I do believe that takes place. But I also believe that there is really a real tongue and a spiritual language that is between man and God that cannot be labeled and put a tag on it, and you can say that it's Japanese or African or whatever like that. I do believe that.
You know, and from my experience, when an individual is really operating in that gift, they really don't speak it out loud unless they have an interpretation. And that's what I've experienced. Now, when you have them other people that just get up in the middle of service and want to stop the service just so they can just go on and on and on and then don't say anything.
That's out of order.
That's out of order, yeah. You know?
Well, the only thing I would like to say is I really, really enjoyed having the conversation with you guys. And I think it just will have to come down to agreeing to disagree on a lot of issues. But I really, really, really appreciated the conversation tonight.
Yes.
And also, I don't know if you said that you were Minister Wilson.
No, I'm a deacon.
Deacon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Deacon Wilson. In any kind of way, I hope I did not offend you in any type of way.
No. I believe iron sharpens iron.
Okay. Iron. and you as well. Apostle Young, you know how, man, you get anyway. You know, you're my man, 50 grand. Love you with all my heart, bro.
No.
This is not. This is about who's right, who's wrong.
I just want to make it clear we never want to disvalue what you feel your interpretation is.
No.
If that's your interpretation, I would never disvalue your interpretation.
No.
I will say this, you know, at the beginning of the broadcast, one of the first things I said was, I feel that all of the gifts that are mentioned in that passage of scripture is being abused, especially by certain leaders in the church.
I agree with that. I'm not going to lie.
And the reason why Paul was doing what he was doing is just wasn't for the Corinthian church at the time. It was for the church churches today.
Yeah, 21st century church. Yeah.
Because the church of today, you have leaders, pastors, bishops, apostles, evangelists, prophets. You got these people in these positions, and they use mysticism. They try to be mysterical to try to put people in a stupor to make them appear to be more than what they are. And that's when the gifts become null and become pointless, because you taking the gifts, and when Paul was saying edifying, he just wasn't talking about a spiritual edification. He was talking about being lifted up in the fact that you can operate in the gifts. Because when you get into the place where you can operate in the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues, if you're not prayed up, you can become lifted up in yourself.
Amen. Amen to that.
And that's right. What's going on in the church. You see it every day. Every Sunday, you come to the church, and the pastor might have been running off out of his mouth with his kids and heard something. Now he want to try to make it seem like he got a prophetic word, or he want to speak a utterance in tongues to try to make it seem like what he heard his kids talking about he got from God. But in actuality, he was gossiping with his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we take the gift of tongues and prophecy and turn it around and use it as a tool of witchcraft and control. Mm-hmm. And that's not what the gift was meant for.
No.
Yeah. Well, I truly believe that it's a misuse of the gifts. But Deacon Wilson, let me ask you this question.
Yes, sir.
What do you think? Do you before you even called in, like, how did you hear about Dirty Church Radio?
Well, no. Well, I have a show. I have a show myself.
Okay.
The Hour of Truth that I be on here. That I be teaching. And then you know, I also just listening on people's shows. You know.
Uh huh.
You know, because I love talking about the word and anything, anytime, you know, I can help build the body of Christ. I just try to find my way into it. And then
okay.
You know, and then I was looking through and I seen. Well, yeah, I was talking about tongues, and one thing I do know in my teaching, because I do teach a lot, is that the misuse of these gifts are making people turn from the church.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's looking at the church saying all this stuff is phony and it's fake, but this stuff is real, you know. So, yeah, so I said, let me listen in. That's how I got this, so, you know.
Well, I really thank you for calling in, man, and
yeah.
Being a part of this discussion. And feel free anytime to call in, man. We really thank you, you know what I mean, for calling in. And again, our condolences and our prayers are with you.
Yeah.
What was your pastor's name,
if I can ask?
Bishop Samuel Sims.
Wait a minute. Bishop Samuel Sims. Wait a minute. Hold up. Is the church in Jamaica, Queens?
No, it's in Manhattan.
Okay, I'm thinking about somebody else.
Yeah.
I was about to be messed up. Cause I, okay, all right.
Well, I hope this ain't your last time calling in, man. Because
No. And let me say this. You know, I don't knock anybody's belief. If that's what the word is telling you, that's what the word is telling you, you know. And I know how to agree to disagree, you know. And all I can do is just give what the word is saying to me, you know. And platforms like this, you know, where we, you know, because the Bible says let's come together and reason. So if we can come together and to come to a clear understanding of something, I appreciate that, you know.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, the gospel, as plain as it is so complicated today with people. You know?
Yeah.
People took this book and confused it. You know?
Yeah. And that's not how it's supposed
to be. Brother, Aaron, his role on this show is to always take the opposing side.
Yeah, well, I can tell that.
Yeah, he's the one who's to speak for those of what people are thinking out there.
Yeah.
In the world, because like we said earlier, everyone has different perceptions and thoughts.
Yeah.
So I just hope that, you know, even if you have a radio show, you can, you know, give us some information about that so we can check your show out too.
Yeah,
promote it on this show, and you can promote this show on your show.
Yeah, I'm
to
on
help each other.
I'm on every night on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. I'm on 7 to 9. At night, and on Tuesdays and Fridays I'm on 5 to 7, and on Sundays I'm on 9 to 11. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the name of the show again?
The Hour of Truth.
The Hour of Truth.
The Hour of Truth. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
I'm gonna hit follow on it too.
Yeah.
Hit follow on it, then we could get it off your lane.
I would appreciate that. You know,
it's over the Blog Talk Radio, right? It's on here.
Yeah.
Well, listen, sir, I'm gonna tell you, we thank you very much, and I hope that you really will spread Hour of Truth, and I hope you can spread Dirty Church Radio.
I definitely will.
I will. And listen, we'll be on here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, man. But until then, man, you be blessed, man.
All right, God bless, brother. All right.
Apostle Young.
Yeah.
I love you, brother.
Love all y'all.
Yeah, man. Love, you know what I mean? I think, you know, one thing I can say about Dirty Church Radio, and this is just for everyone out there, that no topic and no discussion will be limited. So not about offending anyone, but we want to talk. And we want to see what can grow in the midst of our discussions. What can we learn? Because we do not want to perish for the lack of knowledge. God bless you all. I pray all of y'all, whatever house of God you're going to in the morning, be blessed. I pray that God have his way. Until next evening's episode, peace. God bless.